Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You better you bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
Let's talk a little NFL. Championship Sunday coming your way a few days away. We're only 4 days away from Championship Sunday. The doubleheaders, Ken. Let's get into a little bit of line movement. Let's start with the NFC title game first. Packers and Buccaneers. The line sitting right now is Green Bay, a 3.5-point favorite. The total sitting at 51.5.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit of Tampa money come in basically in the last like 24 hours. And all that did was basically take this from something like 3.5 minus 110. Again, it was never the same price really in a lot of places. And we're just kind of in that no man's land between 3 and 3.5, where again, if you want 3.5, then you're going to have to pay a high price for Tampa. If you want to lay just 3 on the Packers, you have to pay a high price to do that. So it's kind of like whichever side you're interested in taking, if you want that extra half point, you're obviously going to have to pay a lot more for it. There's not really like a consensus everywhere number right now. One thing that I think makes this really stable, and I think, you know, maybe you see a little more Tampa money come in as we get later in the week. Maybe we settle on 3 minus 120, minus 125 everywhere in terms of the Packers. But one thing that keeps this, I think, pretty stable compared to the next game, where who knows, is the injury reports are really clean for games that take place this time of year. Antonio Brown is like the only even name that I would consider. And I don't know if he's that valuable to the, you know, to even the win probability for either side, to be perfectly honest. Like, okay, let's just play Tyler Johnson like 50 snaps, who's awesome, who Brady loves, by the way. You know, are you necessarily even losing anything? We don't know if Antonio Brown's going to play. He was on the injury report this week. That's like kind of the name on either side that's popped. And there are other injuries on the report, but like that's kind of interesting. I will say I haven't, and it's worth me actually looking this up right now before I, because I was going to say, right. So Vita Vea was back at practice yesterday. I was trying to see if there was an update today on whether he practiced or not.
Yeah, he did. One note on that, on Vita Vea, because I had Ian Rappaport, Maggie and I do the midday show on The Fan locally, right, in New York, right? So we have Ian Rappaport on from the NFL Network each and every week. And I thought it was kind of a foregone conclusion when Vita Vea was taken off IR with that 21-day window to return in the NFL, right? That it was, right, okay, well, if the Bucs win, they're going to have Vita Vea available for the Super Bowl. And asked Rapp that question. He said, I wouldn't hold on there. I would not be surprised, based on how he looks at practice,
right,
if Vita Vea is there in Lambeau playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. So that's one note to keep an eye on. You mentioned Antonio Brown. That's another one for Tampa Bay. But Vita Vea, didn't mean to interrupt you, Ken, but that's one where,
absolutely,
you know, Rappaport mentioned that he would not be surprised, even if it's, say, 15 or 20 snaps, even if it's in a very, very limited role. We know how good of a player he is. He is a disruptive force on the interior, one of the better interior defensive linemen in the entire National Football League. He said he would not be surprised if things go well at practice this week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if Vita Vea does suit up and does play some for Tampa on Sunday in Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, and I'm glad you mentioned that he had Rappaport on, and he alluded to that. I've read the same thing, and I had a note that he practiced yesterday. And so I kind of have him as like playing, but how effective will he be? So like, is this a reason to make a bet or not make a bet? I doubt it. I think everyone would kind of agree on that. Does it in a very small way change kind of like the win probability of the game? Maybe. Tough to quantify what that would be. Impossible to know how many snaps he will play. But an important note, you know, I think if, you know, I would imagine if you are somebody who bets NFL player props, there's traditionally someone on this show who hosts the show who is very, very,
yeah, the prop king,
very, very
interested
in doing
over the
that.
Place, yes.
I would imagine if we get word that Vea is like 100% by the end of the week, I would imagine the prop king might have something to say about that. Maybe there's a way to take advantage of that in some way. Again, does that make you play Aaron Jones unders in some kind of way? Again, is there a correlation there? Again, this is not my area of expertise, so I won't give you like a recommendation, but I just think that was the only other note I had from a health standpoint. Green Bay, you know, basically kind of, you know, going to war with the same injury report that they've had, you know, essentially forever, as far as I know. So, you know, I think in terms of the game, I think you're likely to see something between 3 and 3.5 still. It's hard for me to fathom news or like, even people with market influence betting into this as limits go up, like, it's tough for me to visualize that the true number in the game should be way different than this. Like, if you want to argue that, okay, it actually needs to be 3 minus 110, and like, you want to go to war with that opinion, okay, maybe. I mean, the Packers just closed, you know, basically 7.5 against Cooper Kupp-less Rams. Are they 3 against Tampa at home? Like, that seems a little short. So I think, you know, this number really exists in what I think is kind of like, quote unquote, the right area. You know, I like Tampa a little in the game, basically. But, you know, from a, you know, is this number wrong? Do I want to play against? Again, we talked about challenging assumptions, right? Not really any assumptions being made here. It's just we have a lot of information about each team, and that's creating a pretty smart market, in my opinion. Nothing new is happening in this game, right? So that makes it tough to be like, well, I feel so strongly that something about this is wrong. I think we have a game that sets up like that.
No, I don't disagree. I think you nailed it, Ken. And I think that's what makes the number really where it needs to be. I think it's a very, very fair number. I don't think I look at it and say, I'm getting great value with the Buccaneers at 3.5, nor do I think I'm getting great value with the Packers laying the 3.5. We saw this meeting in the regular season. Yep. It was not in Green Bay. It was down in Tampa. Tampa won that game by daylight after Green Bay jumped out on top early. So, you look at, I'd put that matchup, I think the teams are completely different now than they were then. You look at the way Brady's throwing the football. You look at the way Rodgers and that offense has gone. So I think it's a really good number. And I can understand those that look at Tampa Bay and saying, I'm getting 3.5 points with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, in his 14th championship game of his career. And I've got the weapons and I've got that defense that imposed its will on a banged up Drew Brees last week, second half against the Saints. I kind of look at that as being very, very valuable 3.5 with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and we definitely wouldn't blame people for thinking that. Those are probably people who had them against the Saints last week. I know Nick and I both had Tampa against the Saints last week and, you know, just thought it was a great price to get on two teams that seemed very even with whatever you want to apply home field advantage. I'm not nearly as confident with basically almost an identical number with, like, I've always kind of thought Green Bay this year was an incredibly elite team, and I don't really see a reason to push against that. So I'm not sure I'll be, you know, as like Tampa can win the game necessarily. Like 3.5 is kind of interesting. There's one other dynamic with this game, and we could do Buffalo, Kansas City quickly too. Nick and I, you know, batted around this theory earlier in the week, and I, you know, doubtful that you've heard it. So I'm just curious your thought on it, that these are two teams that play the game, you know, in such a specific way week after week after week, where with Green Bay, they're the best second quarter scoring team in NFL history, basically. And they, you know, I think in 7 straight games or something, they literally scored points on their first 4 drives. And Tampa's the exact opposite. Tampa's a second half team 1,000,000% of the time in a ton of their games. We have a lot of evidence that that's true. It's almost like once they abandon whatever the game plan is, they play much better. This has been true with the Steelers actually a bunch this year too, or was true since they're not in the season anymore. Would you subscribe to a theory of playing the Packers in the first half and then betting Tampa in the second half? That was something that we toyed with earlier in the week.
You know, I don't think that's a bad idea. I really don't. I mean, Tampa, you're right, is a great second half team. And you look at what the Green Bay Packers are, they're more of a front running and they're a tremendous second quarter team. I kind of like that, Ken. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah, betting angle.
That's a Ken Barkley original. Yeah, that was a good
one. I like that. Yep. Packers first half, Buccaneers second half, and everybody wins. That's it. I like that.
Packers early, Bucks. We had in the NBA Finals, I had a similar capping strategy that was the Lakers were basically like a dominant first quarter team, and the Heat were the best fourth quarter team in NBA history. So my theory was, you could actually bet fourth quarters blind before the game started. Like, there's a spread listed, basically just assuming what the full game spread is. So if the Lakers are favored by, you know, whatever, 5, then the fourth quarter spread would be Lakers by 0.5 or Lakers by 1. And you could bet into that before the game started. And we would blind bet Heat fourth quarters before the game. And you would never know what game you were going to get going in. Like, what if you got to the fourth and it was tied? Then you would need the Heat to like win. What if you got to the fourth quarter and the Heat were down 50? Then you only needed them to lose by 48. You know, like you just never knew what circumstances you were going to get. And they just crushed these fourth quarters. Like, no matter what the setup was, it was just game after game. They would just like somehow, whatever the score was, again, close game, they would win or play close or, you know, lose by a possession. 10-point game, they would like hit a shot at the buzzer and cover. So, you know, maybe there's like, do you blind bet Tampa second half, like before the half starts, even just as a further spin of the roulette wheel? Like, I don't even know what we're going to get in the first half, but I like Tampa in the second half. Sort of a,
yeah, but it's interesting. You mentioned kind of like game situations where you're talking about the Heat. Like, I don't know. Like, if I go into that game, like I kind of like, even though I mentioned it about the Buccaneers looking at value plus the 3.5, I kind of like the Packers in the game, right? Would I be comfortable blindly betting the Buccaneers second half? Say if for some odd reason the game does not go that way, where and all of a sudden Rodgers is down a touchdown at the half, and I like Green Bay in the game. Then all of a sudden, where am I sitting at? Oh, like then, you know, then
God,
all of a sudden you're like
by 10? Oh,
yeah,
no,
exactly. Right. I know. Yeah, exactly right. Let's get to the AFC Championship game, and that is Buffalo and Kansas City. The line sitting right now is the Chiefs are a 3-point home favorite at Arrowhead. The total sitting at 54 as we speak, Ken. And the big question with the Chiefs is the one that, you know, you and Nick have been talking about all week long. Everybody's been talking about all week long. Oh, yeah. When you look at Kansas City, is the availability of Patrick Mahomes, because all signs point to him that he's doing well. He's still in the concussion protocol. He has not been cleared. He has to be cleared in order to be available. If he's not available, I would never take Kansas City with Chad Henne at quarterback. And if he is available, then you know what? I cannot understand taking Kansas City with Mahomes at quarterback. But that's the big question with this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a question I want to ask you, because I've asked everybody the same question this week about Chad Henne if he does play in the game. But the Mahomes stuff first, kind of put on like my reporter cap, for take off my baseball cap, put on my reporter cap. Like this is Ken Barkley from Radio.com Sports in Kansas City, where the big question is, will Patrick Mahomes play? And you have like sound with players and stuff. So a little news reporting. I mean, like practiced the last two, practiced today as well, but it's like light practice. There's obviously no contact in when Kansas City practices. It's not like they have, it's not like in a normal week, they have drills where Patrick Mahomes just gets crushed all the time. Be like, well, let's see how you do, buddy. I mean, that's just not how any of this works. So it's really just, does he clear the protocol or not? And does he get out of the protocol? And we just don't know if that's happened yet. Like, I mean, he's going to do the jogging. He's going to do the throwing. They're going to be able to shoot video of it. And we're going to be able to talk about whether it's going to happen or not. Look, I mean, I think he plays. I don't have any reason to think he doesn't play right now. Even if it's either this is one of the most amazing like dupe jobs by the Kansas City coaching staff of like, Mahomes is out there, but like, it's actually Chad Henne. Don't tell anybody. You know, I doubt we're kind of being duped like that necessarily. So I think, yeah, what the market reflects, to be honest, and what's been true, you know, for the last 24 hours is more likely than not to play. I think it's like a great assessment for where we stand right now. As a result of that, you know, maybe the number was, you know, in jeopardy of dipping under 3 when it seemed really perilous there early in the week, where we had no information. All we had was very, very, very kind of light reporting because there was just nothing to report. You know, this number kind of was like, you know, open 2.5, then it got to 3, then like, you know, started creeping back down again. You're like, oh, okay. Like, I guess there's some belief out there that maybe things are a little more shaky than we thought. We're 3 -115 right now. And that's like really the right number to me, I think. If he plays, and this is the question I wanted to ask you, the second part. I think if he plays, Chiefs 3.5 is kind of like dead, right? I think that's like kind of where we should be. That doesn't make me want to bet anything if that's where we end up. If we're 3 -115 and Mahomes is playing, I like the Chiefs, but I don't think that's where we're going to be. And I also I'm unsure enough that he will play that I don't want to make a bet yet. So you're guessing. If you're playing another market right now, you can try to kind of play in the news about, do I think he's going to play? What happens to the number? But what I want to ask you, Moose, is like, in the off chance, and I've asked everybody this week to a variety of answers, if it is Henne, like, what do you, and we can end here if you want, what would you need to bet the Chiefs? What do you think it would be? Like, just kind of your, even this does not require like expert handicapping. Just what do you kind of think? Like, if you looked and it was X, like, what would you need to bet the Chiefs in that situation?
Well, like, okay. So I look at Mahomes in this matchup against Buffalo, because I think they can move it. And maybe I'm crazy, Ken. I would look at it as a 6-point swing. I mean, I look at it where
So from Chiefs minus three to Bills minus three, that's
correct. I think if Chad Henne, I would need, if I'm taking Chad Henne and the Chiefs, I would need 3 or 3.5 points, even at home. I know, and you might need 6 or 7 or 8 or 10. I mean, there would be a monumental swing. I could never bet, and I'm not knocking Chad Henne. I liked him in Michigan. He's had a nice NFL career as a backup. He is what he is. He's limited in nature. Look at that interception he threw last week against the Cleveland Browns, where he basically, I mean, it was a moon ball into the end zone, thrown up for into nobody in particular. So it was one of the worst playoff throws I've seen some quite some time. And that was a 1st and 10 throw. Like, I'm watching at home. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? It's 1st and 10. Why are you pushing the ball into the end zone? It made no sense. I had no understanding what they were doing. Yeah, what would I need to take? It's a great question. Where would the spread? I think the spread would swing wildly. What would I need to take Chad Henne and the Chiefs? I'd need 6.5 or 7 points.
Okay, so. So here's the only thing I would add. If that's your answer, then to me, that's the answer for what the number should be, as opposed to like, well, I think it would be 3.5, but I'd need more than that. Frequently, when it really comes down to like, would you put the money on the table at this number? If the answer is absolutely not, then the number's wrong, or it's a bad guess.
Not a good point.
In my opinion, just my opinion. Like,
no, that's a good point. So yeah, so maybe the line would move 9.5. If my line would move 9.5, that's a dramatic movement with a quarterback, but.
Is it wrong?
Yeah. probably not.
It's also not Matt Moore. Nick and I made this comparison to the Packers game on Sunday night last year. Like, that number moved 8.5 points. Like, it did. And they were actually playing the Packers, where another, you know, last year we're not even that as good as the Bills are this year. But like, that's, and it was to Matt Moore, who Nick and I both think is better than Henne. So like, it's just, you also have that in it where it's like, Chad Henne isn't even Matt Moore, in my opinion. I mean, he's actually a little bit worse.
I totally agree with you.
So that's, again, throws an extra. I was curious where you would land, but the only reason I was a little, maybe a little too.
Where's it? I'm curious, Ken. Where were the other numbers about where the number needed to be to bet Chad Henne and the Chiefs?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My number that I just thought it would be, I thought either 4.5 or 6 would be if Mahomes was out, one of those two. And the answers we got were, I heard 3.5, we heard 7, we heard 7.5, and then we heard a couple in kind of my range, where I think, you know, like, I don't know if it gets to 6 necessarily. That doesn't mean I wouldn't bet the Bills in that spot, but really to get that variety of answers, I think makes it an interesting question. And, you know, I hope we don't see it. This is what I said to Nick too, like, and we can break for Brad Evans, who we have in a second, but I hope we don't see it. I hope we don't get to have the conversation, because like, if Mahomes plays, then the game becomes epic and everybody wants to watch it. And if Chad Henne plays, then it becomes not epic and nobody wants to watch it. But like, it is very interesting that you could get that many varied answers from like people who watch the NFL all the time, bet on games, understand what players are kind of worth. Like, interesting, you could get that amount of different answers.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't even know if at 6.5 I would take the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, I gotta answer. Maybe that answers your question.
Honestly, I don't know. If we're looking at the number of what I would put money down on, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable getting 6.5 with the Chiefs. And
we'll ask Brad the same thing. I don't know what he's going to say either. Maybe Brad will say 20. Maybe there's no number where you take Chad Henne. We'll see.
Brad Evans is going to join us next from Fade the Noise. You're listening to You Better You Bet. He's Ken Barkley. I'm Mark Melusis, in for Nick Costos here on this Thursday. And you're listening on the BetQL Audio Network.